Welcome back to another episode of the Authentic Recruiter Podcast. If you are part of the recruitment industry and you believe that authentic recruiters change lives, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host, Claire Akers. I want to say thanks for tuning in. I am so glad you're here. Let's dive in to the episode. Today, I am delighted to be sitting down with Tony Phoenix Coles, who is the UK Sales Director for Digital Gurus. Tony, thank you so much for making time to speak to me, especially when you're not going to be in the office too much longer.
Oh, that's my pleasure. My pleasure, Claire.
And I'm just going to come straight out and see it because I can see this. I've got this lovely shot of you and you've got this beautiful baby bump. So I'm even appreciative that you're taking the time to speak with me.
No problem. Yeah. Last day in the office tomorrow, due date in 7 days.
Oh, well, congratulations and make sure you keep us updated with your safe arrival. So good luck for that.
Thank you.
So let's get straight into it. Tell me a bit about your background, how you got to be where you are today, if you would.
Absolutely. Okay, so I went to university in Leeds and did an economics degree, and I was going to go and study law, so to do the graduate diploma in law and then the LPC. Mm-hmm. And the only reason for that was very simply because I thought there was a lot of money in it. I come from quite a working class background. I was very privileged. I went to a really excellent secondary school on a scholarship. So therefore, I had 7 years of being around very successful, very affluent people. And it just gave me insight into what else there was, I guess, in terms of opportunities. Mm. And that's really where university came from. I panicked an awful lot. NatWest very kindly offered me a £55,000 loan over 2 years to support me for the legal studying. And I just panicked because if I didn't earn that money, I would have no way of anybody helping me out at all. So I thought I'll just get a job for 12 months. Mm. And that is how recruitment ended up. I'm sure that's not dissimilar to lots of other people either.
Absolutely.
The standard sentence that people fall into it.
Absolutely.
And I had a good first year. It wasn't exceptional. I wouldn't say I took to recruitment immediately. And I try and use that an awful lot with most of the juniors here, actually, in terms of time frames. I found it really, really hard. It was really, really long hours, 12-hour days. Lots of learning, you know, your brain was just scrambled every single day. And I worked for one of the S3 brands for 2 years and I really enjoyed it, but it was just a crazy time of just hard work, play hard. But I earned enough money against all of my friends who had gone on and been put on all the graduate programs. So it just felt to me that I had a really good opportunity just to continue on an upward trajectory as far as earnings was concerned. And then I moved to another opportunity, still in Leeds. And essentially, I was in Leeds for about 7 years. I worked for three companies over that seven-year period. Mm-hmm. And if I was to be really honest with you, I didn't really value the industry at that time. It was very much for my own personal reasons to be financially remunerated. And it was when I moved to Manchester. So I was 27 at the time. So that was 8-9 years ago. And that was when there was just a huge focus on the value of what the job is. Okay. And actually the whole career element of where people are, what they want to do. And it was also my first real job in management. So I had a lot more autonomy around how my personal ethos could be instructed, I guess, almost within the teams in which I worked in.
Yes.
So it was a complete change for me. So the last, I'm coming up to my 9-year anniversary at the Rethink Group. So the first 5 years of that was very much as a consultant. My billings were good. I was a strong biller in between the 550 and 650 mark as an individual. And I had a small team with me. But what I've always noticed in the recruitment industry is that the good billers tend to just be put into management. Mm-hmm. And the support varies hugely. I was offered an awful lot of support here, and I also did a lot of my own back. So that was around leadership training. It's when I had my first exposure into coaching. I'm a huge fan of all sports. I'm fascinated by performance, motivation, individuals, team performance. Mm-hmm. So I've spent an awful lot of time on that. And I think that's really helped reflect in my ability and also what I've been able to bring to Digital Gurus. Mm. And then after about 4 or 5 years of being here, I met my now husband. And I actually handed in my notice. So I was done with recruitment. So whilst I had a big value, a whole new system around what recruitment was and what the industry was, we were going to go and travel the world for 12 months.
Okay.
And so the MD of Digital Gurus, he's one of the founders, Farouk Mohammed, everyone knows him as Faz. He just had a really open conversation with me and said, we think of bought Digital Gurus. It was a really smart move. It was when, you know, if you remember, George Osborne kind of banded the Northern Powerhouse term for the first time, and lots of other organizations looked at bringing their main offices from the south up into Manchester, and it's really helped boost the economy here. During that time, he just said, look, if you're interested, there is nothing to stop us opening a brand in the north. I really buy into you. I like what you're about. I guess I'm very culture driven. Like, the work is almost secondary. It is secondary to me, to the people, and that journey that they go on, and the journey of our customers and the journey of our candidates. Like, at the end of the day, it's just all about the people. Without that, there is literally no interest or even industry, as far as I'm concerned. And I just thought, actually, so I spoke to my partner, and he was like, yeah, if you want to go for the opportunity, like, just do it. And that was literally 4 years ago. It keep popping up on my LinkedIn that it was my work anniversary. So for the last 4 years, it has been building a business from scratch with a brand that was already recognizable, but only in the south. Like, nobody knew of them really in the north, despite a huge following. So I've had, in my opinion, like, a really fantastic opportunity to put my own personal stamp on something, to build. It's a real story, like a real journey. We've had lots of different people work for us throughout different times of where we've been on our journey. Mm-hmm. But we are in a position now, despite COVID, where we have got a really core, solid team of a very diverse workforce who are hugely motivated by all the many different aspects that recruitment can give you. But also just a wonderful customer base and opportunity and attitude in which we're basically able to really enjoy what we do every day.
Well, it sounds like quite a ride. Let's jump straight in on that. So I guess my first question is, let's address the elephant in the room, which is COVID. How have you kept that culture going? How have you, as a leader, how have you kept the team motivated and sort of put your arm around them and provided that sort of that safe space at the top so they can have that safety to do their job?
Yeah, of course. I mean, no doubt this will have been, in varying degrees, you know, a really tough time for all individuals, regardless of whether you're in recruitment or not. And I think the key thing to remember is that everyone is a person. And people experience everything very different. That's what's so fascinating about human beings. You know, they are all very unique and complex individuals. So I think from my perspective, we have been building and have a culture which is just very real. It's very honest. It's very transparent. And that hasn't changed. So whether things are wonderful or things are awful, we have an ethos that we are all free and non-judged to talk about how we're feeling or talk about what we're experiencing at that time. And within, I guess, in an environment that's a very non-judging environment. So what you get from that is real raw data, because that is what's going on. Mm-hmm. So you can't predict what that looks like. You know, I could go into every morning meeting with something really motivational and try and, you know, G up the team. But actually, from my perspective, I think really listening to everybody and how they're feeling and what they're going through and always providing that comfort, but then also with challenge as well. Like, we've got a very honest culture. So anybody can say anything they want, but also, you know, there is an expectation that they can be challenged as well, because I think the overarching message is that everybody and everybody that I've worked with and everybody within this business, they want to do well and they want to improve. So when you've got that as the fundamentals and you know that everything that's being said is honest and is from the heart and it's with the best intentions, then I don't think you can go that far wrong. And also just a real acceptance that we are human beings, and by our very DNA we make mistakes, and that is not an issue. You know, it'd be more worrying if somebody never made any mistakes, probably, because it just wouldn't feel real.
And let's face it, there are a lot of mistakes, that things that can go wrong in the recruitment industry.
All day they happen. We've had about three this morning. It's more around how you deal with it. And I mean, it's just life. You know, adaptability in life for me is just, it's so important. And just being really agile enough to be able to adapt quickly and with an open mind, and just not being afraid of anything, really.
I know, my gosh, I've had a chance to put that into practice over the past few months.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, it's Claire here, just jumping on to check whether you have taken my recruitment impact and income scorecard. It's a short quiz, just 30 questions, and at the end, you will get your score and your personalized report. So if you're looking to grow a profitable and purpose-led company, what are you waiting for? Take the scorecard totally free of charge. There is a link in the show notes. Let's get back to the episode. So you mentioned before about the importance of your personal ethos and being able to kind of run with that in the brand you're building. What is your personal ethos? What's your values?
Oh, so I think my own personal values and within the team is that every individual is unique. And it's really understanding what they're looking to do and how we can support that. So just that everybody is equal and everybody is unique is how I personally feel. And then as an organisation, we have a set of core values as well.
I can see them on the wall behind you. So we've got trust, integrity, reliability, support. Is there fun behind you as well somewhere?
There is fun.
Yeah.
You can't be doing it if you... we also... professional is very important to us as well, our level of professionalism. Honesty, excellence, accountability, winning... You know, we are a competitive bunch as well. We whilst all these sound lovely, we do it all because we want to be the best and we want to do very well.
There's a bit of grit behind it all as well.
Yeah. And there's one more called Four Wall Ethos, which is a bit of a quirky one. It's just around the comfort of whatever we're talking about. It stays within the confines of the environment which you're in.
I like that. So that's a really good one.
Four walls.
Four Wall Ethos. Nice. I haven't heard that one before, but I like it. It's good. You've alluded to the importance of coaching. How important is that for you, for recruiters to have that coaching approach to performance and mindset and just general well-being?
Oh, for me, hugely. I think it was genuinely the difference between where I was from being a 300-400k biller to getting me to my peak. That was at the start of my own personal coaching journey. At the end of the day, each individual, as I've mentioned on a couple of occasions, I certainly don't mean to labor on the point, but we are very complex, unique individuals, and we all go through life and we have lots of learned behaviors, ways of doing things, habits, etc. And again, through my own personal experience, I had an amazing friendship group at university. But I certainly wouldn't say, like, at the 18 version of me, you know, I was an absolute cannonball waiting. You know, I was crazy and for lots and lots of different reasons without going too deep. For me, without a doubt, it was that friendship group and being able to have the opportunity to kind of relearn who you are and go through those experiences. But then I compare myself to my brother, for example, who, I mean, I certainly don't mean to stereotype, but he's a guy, and the way that his friends are with him, they don't have deep and meaningful conversations and challenge each other on being the best version of them. I think one of them does, and he's actually frayed off in a different group of friends. You do tend to kind of operate a little bit with the friendship circles that you're familiar with. And looking at two people who have been brought up in the exact same way and have gone through the experiences that they have, albeit some will be different, obviously, it's just hugely different. And I genuinely think that is down to kind of the paths in which you take, and also the people and the impact that they have around you. And then you're thrown into recruitment, dependent on who you are as an individual, it will depend on the kind of support that you seek out, because there is an expectation from the employer, you know, it's all about ROI, and you have time frames, and some businesses are better than others, but how many really look at you as an all-round individual as opposed to just the performance? Like, we have had a culture here at Digital Gurus for the last, well, ever since I've worked here anyway, that every individual within the team can have a completely open mind about what they want to do, when they want to do it, when they want to leave. Like, my longest notice period I had was 18 months from one of my members of staff. Okay. And I knew exactly what they wanted to do. And it was, how can we facilitate what they want to go and do in 18 months? Because my attitude is, well, if they're working whilst they're here and they're adding value and we're able to give them something, it doesn't matter when they leave. It would just be foolish to think that everyone's going to end their careers in our business. So why does it need to be so, like, cloak and dagger and really secretive? And I haven't had a single person hand their notice in on payday in 4 years. You know, the standard, I'll wait, I'm so nervous, will the business pay me? It just doesn't happen. And I love the fact that people can be honest and not need to feel, don't get me wrong, there's been loads of issues. Like, I'm sure not everyone has been seamless, and I'm not trying to paint a perfect picture, but I just think, what difference does it make? I think people should, I've got some customers, one client springs to mind actually, and it's so refreshing to hear them, you know, they're hiring for really senior people, and they constantly talk about that when this person's been here in 1 or 2 years, they're going to be looking for a head of role. And that might not be here because we don't know how much we can accommodate that, but they still want to hire the very best people. And they talk a little bit more short term. And I just think previously, sometimes people expect that you're going to be lifers, and it's, you're starting on the wrong foot already.
It's that Richard Branson quote, isn't it? I'm sure it's Richard Branson. Train your staff well enough so they don't want to leave. Sorry, so they can leave, and then treat them well enough so they don't want to. Do you know that one? Oh, have you frozen, Tony?
Yes, yes. Love that quote as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah, it's one of my favourites. It sounds like you're kind of landing on an emotionally intelligent approach to recruitment. So, well, as you were talking, I got a flashback to my first role in recruitment back in 2005, and it was proper old school Wolf of Wall Street, aggressive 80s boys in suits type environment. And it was very much, we look for a certain profile of person, give them a few KPIs, and then hope some of them work out. And over 15 years, I've definitely seen an evolution in a more unique, individual motivated approach to emotionally intelligent recruitment, you know, that relationship building, that it's not all about the ROI, it's about the value you add and the service you deliver and your personal brand. It sounds like you've had a similar experience. I'm not sure what the question is in there, but
no, you know, you're absolutely right. And to be fair, I think, you know, rewind 10 years ago, how my perception was, it was very competitive with everybody else in the industry. What I've noticed, again, in the last few years, I've had run-ins with other recruitment owners, recruitment directors, and some haven't been fantastic at all. But I've noticed a lot more individuals very much have, I guess, a bit of a shared ethos around, like, we're all in the same industry, we don't need to battle against each other. And I've really enjoyed that. I'm really open about the things that we either do. I just think if somebody else wants to copy or somebody else wants to follow, like, that's absolutely fine. That should not impact what we are doing. I've never really been one to look behind my shoulders. I just, again, like, we work in the tech industry. The most successful technologist is, in my opinion, like, potentially around open source. And the whole ethos around that is adding and contributing to make something better.
Yeah.
So again, I just think that's really important. And I love the industry that I work in now. I was convinced I was going to leave by 30. Now I'm now 35. I have gone and done a coaching qualification because I think ultimately long-term, my real, real passion is around people. So recruitment is very, very people-centric, but it's very much focused around their careers. You know, so it's one aspect of the person. And of course, there are other elements that come into that. But I think longer term, I want to look at the whole person, whilst career will be really important, everything else that kind of is about embodies them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of my passion, is the whole, not just the performance in terms of hitting the sales figures, but the mindset of the individual, making sure that their vision and values and purpose is in alignment. And that's outside of work, inside of work, everything. And when you get all those foundations together, their performance just skyrockets. It's absolutely phenomenal. Coming back to something you said before about open source and collaboration. I mean, that is the whole point of this community I'm building. You know, I totally agree with you, firmly agree we're better together. Recruitment isn't rocket science. You know, there's no secret sauce to it, is there? It is, there is a certain process we follow, and of course we innovate and have different strategies and all the rest of it. But I think it's down to the individual, and, you know, you're not going to be giving away trade secrets if you collaborate with another recruiter.
No, agreed.
So that is the whole point of this authentic recruiter community I'm building, and the podcast, and that whole thing is for us to band together, provide role models, prove that it is a noble, worthy profession. You know, it's a vocation. And just kind of raise the bar a bit. You know, let's be proud of what we do. Yeah, sorry, I went off on a bit of a rant there, but okay, so let's talk about being a woman, and specifically a working mum in recruitment, because that's something we've both got in common. I've got three kids. My youngest has just turned one this month.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's been quite a wild ride. But it's, I think it's fair to say that your experience has been more positive than mine as being employed as a recruiting mum. Tell me about your experience.
Okay, so mine has been amazing. So my little boy, he's called Ezra. He turned 2 in June. From my perspective, I mean, I think I went off. It was really hard going off on maternity leave. I am a bit of a control freak, and I think
you've got to be successful in recruitment.
I think leaving a business that you've worked so hard in and that you've built so much in. And again, like the culture was just getting to that point. I always refer to the bottom of the hockey stick, and we were at the bottom of the hockey stick on that upward trajectory. And obviously I was then going off, and I only had 6 months off, which actually I found really hard. You know, I wasn't quite ready to go back. My employers are really, you know, flexible. I ended up taking a month of holiday. So I came back after 7 months. Mm-hmm. And even then, you know, he's at nursery, and I work from home on a Wednesday. So he's at home with me on a Wednesday. And then timings are fine. Like we operate, like it's full flexible working here. So we don't even have core hours. So mm-hmm. I can work around the nursery. So all of that's been fine. But what I will say is I felt I was already quite efficient anyway. But my levels of efficiency,
oh my god, yes,
through the roof. So yeah, there is no dithering. I was very action and outcome orientated, and that has taken on a whole new level as well. Meetings are to the minute. But the whole COVID situation, I did a webinar a couple of weeks ago, and I'd only just acknowledged, I mean, my days have become so much longer, and I don't think I'm the only person, you know, and everyone's wondering why productivity has gone up in this first spike of COVID. And it's because everybody's just grafting so hard, so many hours. They're at home. There is no time. There is no cutoff. And meetings, they run to the minute. No one gives themselves a break anymore. 15 minutes, 30 minutes to catch up with the team, go for a coffee. You know, you finish one meeting 10 till 11. The next one starts at 11. So
it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really exhausting. And then being pregnant, I mean, to be honest, I haven't really had time to feel the pregnancy. Like if I felt sick, I've just eaten toast, like just kind of get on with it. And you know what? And I'm really lucky. He's been absolutely fine. So yeah, I've got a second one that I'm going to bring into the fold. But what's really funny is the associate director at Digital Gurus, he had his little boy 3 months before my first one. Okay. And we both just started working together. So we've been able to like compare our journeys almost with where we are. I'm more of a morning person. Jay is not a morning person. So he really struggled with the sleepless nights and the getting in the mornings. And do you know what? You just balance it, don't you? Again, it's just that acceptance of who the individual is, and just comparing both of the journeys, which we've both been on, from him being full-time working dad and me being a full-time working mom, but within the same office environment, has been really fascinating. All different challenges. But again, like it's no different to everybody else that has a child. You just get on with it.
In your first question, you said that Digital Gurus is fully flexible. Was that policy in place before you got pregnant, or is that something that you've put in?
No, it's probably evolved over time. So we've always had flexible working, but it probably was more around core hours. And again, because you're such a culture-driven team, and I'm sure a lot of other businesses are similar that may say that, but you still really do want the team together physically. This is pre-COVID, just because of that environment factor, I guess. And then it's, again, I've really struggled with this a lot, and it's been that constant debate. Do you give the higher performers more flexibility, or do you just give it everybody and see how they
interesting.
Are? Yeah, and I've always struggled with that a little bit. So I'm the kind of person that the higher performers, they will always get a little bit extra from me. Not necessarily around flexibility. I think it's really important to just always really recognise them. But I also have a strong belief and against inequality. So I want everybody to have the same opportunities. I'm contradicting myself already. I've opened up a right can of worms here.
Yeah, it's really tricky, isn't it? Because then it's that whole catch 22. Do they perform better if they've got that flexibility and feel supported?
So I actually think they do. Yeah, I think people do. I think if you're hiring on the right behaviours and the right values, trust should be given from the off. You don't earn trust. You get trust straight away. You know, yes, it's removed if they do something, but I just think it's really important to treat people as adults and respect them. And gosh, have I been burnt? I've had, honestly, some stories I'm not going to tell on this one, but yeah, hugely been burnt. But do you know what?
But are people taking the piss?
I mean, we've had some really crazy examples. Yeah, just, you know, lying about what they've done, or, and there hasn't been loads, don't get me wrong, but you're always going to get that. But I would much rather have it this way around and just treat everybody respectfully from the off with high levels of trust, high levels of autonomy. And yeah, it's the risk of being burnt, but that's okay with me.
That sounds like a good way to be able to sleep at night, to have that default position of trust first and worry that, you know, kind of think that the goodwill out overall, that the positives outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not naive at the same time. You know, we do have quite a rigorous interview process, and we do, you know, it's not just anybody kind of comes here. So I think even just to get through that, but then not everybody is, I guess, what they turn out to be. And that's just one of those as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then final question: what can the industry do to support working mothers better, do you think? Or fathers as well, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing as well. I think that whole shift, because there isn't that stereotype. Again, like my husband actually used to work for the business I work for, and we offer shared paternity. So we could have quite easily done that way, but then he doesn't have that where he is now. So we're finding that quite difficult because we don't have that option. Now,
this is kind of all on you.
Yeah, it is. But deep down, do I want it all on me? Yes, I do. But equally, I'm in a position where, you know, I run a UK-wide team. There's even more opportunities within the business. You know, I'm also really excited. I'm only taking 4 months off maternity this time because I want to come back. There's so much that I want to do for Digital Gurus, and the whole journey which we're on at the moment, like, it's such a mental world that we're living in right now. But there, for me, there is so much great opportunity to come out of these things. And again, it's all down to the people. And people aren't sat there being really negative about the future. You know, everybody wants to see the brighter side. And the industry, we're so fortunate. Digital and tech industry not only is so fascinating, but it is so booming.
Yeah.
So whilst we are in a really difficult time right now, you know, it's great. You know, it's really great that I feel so lucky. I've forgotten your original question. I do tend to just go off on a little bit, Claire. Would you mind repeating it?
Of course. It was just like what the industry needs to do to support.
What the industry can do. Absolutely. I think it will come down to those decision makers within those businesses. Some people will actively say that they're more comfortable and that they can offer more flexibility, and they might do marketing pieces on whether they're company websites or LinkedIn, etc. You really need to believe it. Like, you really need to trust that people are capable of doing the job. From my own personal experience, my levels of productivity, how I've contributed to the business, there has been again, check with my MD and CEO, but there has been like zero negative impact. And if anything, more of a positive ROI from my engagement levels before, what I've done before going off on maternity leave, and then what I've done coming back. Mm. So the value that the company will get to benefit from hugely outweighs me having a break of 4 or 5 months. So I think just, I'm going to probably be a little bit negative to some people, but there are some recruitment dinosaurs, and it doesn't really matter what they do. You can see through it. So yeah. All I would say is, how easy is it to change your mindset? Well, actually, that goes back to coaching again. Mm. I do believe you can change mindsets completely. But if company decision makers in recruitment just decide to try and engage with more people or make it easier and offer flexible working, in my opinion, that isn't going to transform anything. It will help some individuals for sure. But actually, hopefully, with the awfulness of COVID, that there is an opportunity for people to rewire some learned behaviours around how they think.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. It's so, so interesting. It's one of the motivations of this podcast is to provide role models and different ways of thinking, so the industry, the recruitment industry, can come out of this period with the good companies, the forward-thinking companies, the passionate companies staying on top. Mm. Yeah. And I'm so excited to hear about your journey. It sounds really, really exciting. You've got a lot going on this year, and I wish you every success with it. And thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, no, it was a real pleasure. Thank you.
That is it for today. Thank you so much for being here, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Please don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if we're not already, let's connect on LinkedIn. See you next time.